Are you traveling on the road? Even if it's just a 30 or 45 minute drive, were you hoping to have some musical excursions during your trip? Especially if your trip is more than 45 minutes, maybe 75, 90 minutes. I definitely try to give you the best of both worlds. I know a lot of you really enjoy good music. A lot of you are looking for conversation, discussion that helps us grow. I try to provide both on the program. I want us to take a look at something else as we combine a couple of things, I guess you could say. Letting Seeker help us with this. And we're going to look at least a couple of things right now. I want to start with something that you could say has to do with biblical matters and health matters, because I know a lot of you have been very, very interested for some time now in this disease called leprosy. I want to hear what we can find out about that right about now.
Leprosy brings to mind images of biblical beggars and lonely leper colonies, and seems for some to have all but disappeared into the history books. But leprosy still haunts many parts of the world, and there's an absurd amount that we don't know about the disease. Leprosy has been around since at least 2000 BC, but after all this time, we still don't really know how the disease is transmitted. We don't know where it starts in the body. Oh, and we can't grow leprosy bacteria in a culture. But maybe we should start with what we do know.
My name is Cressida Madigan. I'm an assistant professor at UC San Diego in the molecular biology section. And I work on leprosy and other neurological infections to try to understand how these infectious agents are damaging our nervous system during infection. I love mycobacteria, which is the kind of bacteria that causes leprosy. They're very unusual organisms.
And part of what makes leprosy bacteria, or Mycobacterium leprae, so unusual is that it is thought to be only able to replicate inside a living cell.
These bacteria can't be grown in a lab the way that we grow other bacteria. We don't know why. We don't know if maybe we're just missing a key component of the recipe that it needs to grow. Could also be that leprae simply cannot grow outside of an animal.
So scientists like Dr. Madigan study leprosy inside living animals like mice, armadillos, and zebrafish. But this still makes the bacteria difficult to observe and run tests on, especially since it occupies a unique part of the body, the nerves. It's the bacteria invading the nerves and the immune system's response that eventually causes the major symptoms of the disease. So while we aren't really sure how the disease gets into the body or how it travels to the nerve cells, we know it infects what are called Schwann cells, which produce the protective myelin sheath that covers neuronal axons, helping to conduct electrical impulses along the nerves.
So there's some evidence that when M. leprae infects Schwann cells, it stops those cells from being able to make myelin, which is this sort of insulating wrapping that surrounds the axons of our nerves.
Something about the infection causes the protective myelin to die. And this is because the bacteria is destroying the small but mighty mitochondria in the nerve cells.
So mitochondria are sort of like the batteries within cells. They produce the energy for the cell so that it can function. So as a cell, if you don't have mitochondria, you will essentially die at some point, right?
Over time, the nerve axons also become damaged by the immune system's response to the bacteria, which is why people with leprosy can lose feeling in their skin. But the immune system isn't activated immediately, and that's because leprosy bacteria is notorious for moving at a snail's pace. While other bacteria like E. coli can replicate in as short of a time as 20 minutes and disseminate quickly, leprosy bacteria replicates only once every 2 weeks or so. So someone could be infected for years and not experience any symptoms because the bacteria isn't setting off any alarms. This also makes the bacteria difficult to treat.
Many antibiotics work by targeting bacteria that are replicating. So if you're a bacterium and you're not replicating, then you will be naturally resistant to several classes of antibiotics.
To treat the disease, you'd have to take a cocktail of various antibiotics daily for up to 2 years to make sure the drugs hit the bacteria at the exact moment it's trying to replicate. And you would need to take multiple antibiotics at one time to ensure the bacteria doesn't become resistant to the treatment, which is not ideal. But the good news is, leprosy really isn't that contagious compared to other diseases.
Part of the stigma of leprosy is that this disease is very contagious, but that's actually not true.
In fact, you need to be around someone with leprosy for a long time to catch the disease. It also helps that 95% of people are naturally immune to leprosy.
So in order to contract leprosy, you have to be living with a family member who has the disease, who is infectious, and you have to have close intimate contact with that person for a period of years.
And while the symptoms are undesirable, leprosy doesn't directly cause death. In some patients, the symptoms take decades to manifest. So, like we said earlier about the leprosy bacteria,
they're very unusual organisms. The Byzantines knew about leprosy. They knew that it was infectious. And so to try to stop the spread of leprosy throughout the Byzantine Empire, the Byzantines would assign leprosy patients into leprosaria, which were like very posh leper colonies, essentially. The leprosaria were actually really nice places for patients to live. They got free medical care, free food, housing. And so life was so good within the leprosaria that people started trying to fake the symptoms of leprosy in order to be admitted.
Oh, to be a leper in the Byzantine era. Am I right?
Wow, what do you think about that? And I know that, doing Bible studies and conversations about lepers as Bible studies took place, there was, of course, a lot of, talk about how highly contagious the disease is. And, the folks with leprosy could not be around other people. They had to stay away from them. And if they were going to get anywhere close to members of the community outside their homes, they had to yell out, unclean, unclean. But what are your thoughts about this whole notion of having to be in close proximity to the lepers for an extended period of time, maybe even for years, and being even sexually intimate with lepers for an extended period of time before you could even have any concerns about contracting the disease? Does that in any way begin to reshape your thinking about Jesus' decision to touch the leper who wanted to be healed of his leprosy? Does it make you any more comfortable about the idea of ministering to lepers, whether medically or otherwise? How about the whole notion of it being able to be in the body for years before the person becomes symptomatic? Leprosy. Still something that needs to be dealt with, right? All right, stay with me. Back in just a few as we continue on with speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. here, sharing information that you can grasp and put into play in your lives.